The scripture today is Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. And chapter 26 is basically a psalm of trust, praise, and meditation. And God is revealing this to Isaiah. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Ours is a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates and let the righteous nation enter, a nation that keeps faith. Those with sound thoughts you will keep in peace, and be peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is a rock for all ages. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, I've come to notice in the years of my life certain truths about the world that I think are important for us to recognize and understand. And I think that where the stain of sin lingers on, where sin exists in the world, then we will have troubles. It is without doubt that we will face times of trial. It doesn't matter how charmed of a life you've lived, how much money you have, how much power you have, how much prestige you have, or fame or fortune. It does not matter. In this world, we will inevitably all face troubles. When we think about the diversity of the people in the world with different ideas, different opinions, different purposes and agendas, then there is inevitably disharmony and chaos and discord because of the fallenness of human nature. And so I think there's a scripture that speaks to this, one that I never really gave much thought about until now. As I was doing my research to write this message this week, I was reading in one of my devotional Bibles, and it glanced upon this passage from Romans chapter 8. And I think it speaks to me about this truth. It's from Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, and it says this. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up until the present time." And so, in other words, as a result of living in a fallen world, our lives at times are like a mother who has birth pangs. There's constant discomfort, constant distress, constant pain and struggle. And so in my devotional Bible, there was a little footnote. And the footnote said this, and I think it's powerful, and I want to share it with you. It says, "We can't find contentment in our relationships, in our events and circumstances. There will always be chaos because we live in a fallen world. Creation has always since been moaning and groaning like pangs of childbirth since sin." And so I think it speaks to this important truth. It seems like no matter what, it's hard for us to be content with what we have, to learn to get along with one another, to learn to appreciate the joys of life. When all around we think about the troubles of the world, the incidents of fighting, of terrorism, of dealing with circumstances that come along with acts of nature, that we will have trouble. We will face trials and tribulations as a truth of our lives. And so knowing this to be true, how do we live our lives in a different way? How do we live our lives in such a way that we can find some joy in the world that we live in? So now I think it's important for us to jump to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah writes to a people in Israel who are on the brink. People whose lands are going to be conquered. That they've already come into the northern kingdom. The Assyrians have come and taken it over. And now the southern kingdom is in jeopardy. And so Isaiah points in this passage to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is meant to be the city on a hill. It's meant to be a beacon of devotion and love and service to God. It's meant to be the crown jewel of Israel that people can look to and see devotion and hope and God's love radiating. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And that's why Isaiah is there in the first place. He's calling them to repent and save their land. He's wanting them to see what's most important, because the people of Israel have now, since Solomon, had bad king after bad king after bad king leading them away from God. So they need Isaiah to bring them back to the fold, to know where their allegiances need to lie. And so the scripture from Isaiah 26 begins in this way. It says, "In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps the faith." So I think these words are important for a lot of reasons. Excuse me. But let me give you a couple of important insights to know. And so, as I said, Isaiah is referring to Jerusalem. But I think it's important here, it says, God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. And so when you think about a city that's meant to be fortified, a fortified city has walls as tall as they can be. It has cannons and catapults and ramparts and archers and all of these things. But the truth of the matter is that all of these things can fail. All of these things can turn into dust. The only thing that we have that we can rely on is the firm foundation of our relationship with God. It says, God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. Man-made structures and infrastructures can be destroyed. But our relationship with God and what God has done for us can never fail. So it says, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps the faith. That's an important theme here. Keeping the faith. So listen to verses 3 and 4. I think they give us even more important insight here. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those minds that are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." And so I think there's a word in here that's important that I want to point out to you. The word here is steadfast, that we are meant to keep our minds steadfast when it comes to our relationship with God. And so I want to define that word for you. Here's the dictionary definition of steadfast. It says fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose, resolution, faith, attachment. You get the idea. Fixed in direction, steadily directed, firm in purpose. So I want to contrast this word steadfastness with the word sin. And the reason why is because the Greek word for sin is called hamartia. And what this word means is it literally means missing the mark. And so think about an archer who pulls the arrow back with his bow, and he looks, he or she looks. And so the archer, and looking through the sight, sees the bullseye, has his hands firmly planted, his feet firmly planted, nothing is moving from the target, and then lets go. And then that's when it hits the bullseye. It hits when everything is steadfast, when everything stays in place, when nothing wavers, when nothing deviates from the target. That is when the bullseye is hit. And so for us, we need to remain steadfast in our relationship with God, never wavering into sin, never giving in to those temptations that come, especially in times of trial. And so it mentions here also, in the fourth verse, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is a rock eternal. And so God is our firm foundation. Jesus is the rock that we can place our trust in. Whenever we fall into sin, we know that if we repent and give our lives back over to Christ, then we are firmly planted again, then we are steadfast in our relationship with God. And so we need to trust in the rock eternal. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And so we recognize that the rock is a firm foundation because rocks are hard, they're solid, they're difficult to break, and if a rock is big enough, it's really difficult to move. And I even think about the ad campaigns for Ford trucks that they're built like a rock, right? Maybe some of you think it might be Chevys, but we're not going to debate that today. Fords are built like a rock, right? And a rock is supposed to be unmovable, steadfast, something you can lean on, build on a foundation on, be reliable. So that is what we're meant to do with our relationship with Jesus, to build it on the solid rock. So Isaiah longed for this kind of single-minded devotion in Jerusalem. He longed for it to represent a city of salvation, a city of peace and solace and devotion to God. But the sad thing is that in that time, they were taken over. The Babylonians did come, and the people of Israel were in exile and in slavery in Babylon. However, God was not done with his people yet. God would rebuild and renew and regain. We just have to place our trust in the Lord, our rock. So there was something else written in my devotional Bible, the rest of this footnote that I want to read to you because I think it's really important, and it says this. It says, we find contentment in God's unchanging love. Our trust in his steady love provides the inner stability we need in an ever-changing world. We can deal with the chaos because we know that God can lead us through it and gives our lives purpose and peace in spite of it. Look for your contentment in the eternal reality of God's love for you. I found this so absolutely true in my own life. I found that whenever I felt the lowest, whenever I was going through some of the most difficult times in my life, that's when I was most dependent upon God. That was when I realized just how important my dependence on God really was. And I think that happens very often in our lives, doesn't it? In our times of crisis, in our times of trouble, that's when we turn to God more than any other time. You think about during 9/11, the churches were full during that time. You also think about that old saying that says, there are no atheists in a foxhole. I think there's some truth to that, of course. But what I think is troubling about that is that we need to realize our dependence on God in our times of good as well as our times of bad. Amen. That we need to recognize that Jesus is the rock, whether we're in the most joyous times or in the most difficult times. We need to have that firm foundation every single day. We're dependent upon God for our blessings. We're dependent on God for everything that we have. So let us remember that. That in times of joy as well as sorrow, we need to place our trust on the firm foundation of Christ the Rock. So I want to leave you with a prayer. I want to leave you really with some words to a song. There's a song that I've kept hearing often on the bridge that's really been speaking to my life lately. It's a song about when we face times of trial, when we face troubles and things that are worrying us. And so this song is called Cast My Cares by Finding Favor. And I want to read to you the first verse and the chorus because I think it's really powerful. And it's my prayer to all of you today. It says this. It says, when fear feels bigger than my faith, and struggles steal my breath away, when my back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, you're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside of my soul. And so that's my prayer to all of you today, that you'll recognize that Jesus was able to take upon himself the sins of the entire world, my sins and your sins. And so how much more can Jesus take upon himself our worries, our burdens, our doubts and fears and shame? We just need to trust in Jesus. Because I've found in my life that much too often I want to do it on my own. I want to be able to take on the world myself and all these worries I put upon myself. But really, we're called to cast our fears and worries upon Jesus. To trust in his perfect will. To trust in the rock of ages. Jesus, who loved us so much that he bore the burden of our sins and has given us the gift of eternal life and joy. So I ask you to cast your cares upon Jesus, the solid rock who can free us from guilt and worry and shame. If we seek to trust in him and to follow in his ways, contentment and joy follow. As Jesus is the rock of ages, we must cleft to with all of our heart. And so, church, I want to leave you with this. It's on the billboard over here. That Jesus rocks. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus rocks. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to know today that Jesus is the rock, the giver of all good things, our Savior. Took upon himself the sin of the world. And so in seasons of distress and grief, when doubt and fear assail us, help us to be faithful enough. Help us to be steadfast enough to cast our burdens upon you, O God. Because you are able. You can give us relief, contentment, and joy. So Lord, help us to remain steadfast and faithful. To never deviate from your word dwelling in our hearts. In Jesus' holy name, we all pray. Amen.